a night of huge drama in the UEFA Champions League. We had a classic in Madrid where it was a night to remember for Atletico. Meanwhile, at Anfield, Paris claimed victory over Liverpool to progress to the last four as they continue the defence of their trophy. We'll review it all, plus look ahead to Wednesday's action. Natalie Soren, welcome to the show after another huge night in the UEFA Champions League. Delighted to be joined by European football expert Kevin Hatchard and commentator Mike Sewell as well. Kev, it's been simply a great night once more.
Phenomenal entertainment. Two comebacks that looked like they might be on at one stage. Liverpool didn't get the goal, but the way they played in the second half suggested that maybe they could get back in the tie. Barcelona gave it everything, had wiped out that deficit pretty early on. But you have to admire Atletico's grit and determination and ability going forward, and they found a way to get through.
And it really was a night, Mike, of teams weathering storms but coming through it.
Yeah, literally at Anfield. They didn't weather the storm. Paris were the ones that weathered the storm, but Liverpool tried to turn it on in the second half without any success. And Paris, just such a good team, able to just be so efficient. They hardly had any chances until they scored the goal, and when they got that chance, they took it. It was a great finish from Dembele, and then by the end, Liverpool's legs were tiring, they were pushing forward, it was opening up, they got the second goal. It's just, they're a formidable team. I mean, we should have a fascinating semi-final, whether it be Real Madrid or Bayern Munich.
Mike's got it spot on there, the word efficiency. You know, that's exactly what they were, efficient. They never looked ragged, they never looked knocked out of their stride, even though when they were having to come up with last-ditch challenges, still managed to dig in. Super performance, that's why they're champions.
Well, let's confirm the results then, shall we? Paris booking their place in the last four after a 2-0 win at Anfield to win the tie 4-0 on aggregate. And Barcelona were 2-1 winners over Atleti in Madrid, but Atletico Madrid held on for a 3-2 aggregate victory. So let's begin in Madrid, where it was an exhilarating 90 minutes at the Estadio Metropolitano.
Here's a chance for Yamal. Pass the goalkeeper, Barcelona back in the tie. Inside 4 minutes.
Oh, the perfect start. They look threatening from the off. You do not want to see him at the end of it in that kind of position.
Here's Olmo again. Slides it through, chance for Torres. It's two. The tie is level. Explosive finish.
What a nice ball that is, and what a lovely three touches by Ferran Torres that is.
He's got Lookman in the middle. He had a look. He's played it to Lookman. Chance here. Atletico Madrid 1, Barcelona 2. Calm down, says Diego Simeone, but in his heart, he'll be pumping with pride the fact they've come back into it again. They lead 3-2 on aggregate.
So Atletico Madrid then book their place in the semi-finals of the Champions League for the first time since 2017. And it was just one of those games that was end-to-end. It was breathless. It had everything you wanted in a classic cup tie.
Yeah, and I think we knew how Barcelona were going to play because that's how they play every game. They go for it. They send men forward. They look to attack and score goals. What the intriguing question was how was Simeone going to set up? Was he going to try and fight fire with fire, or was he going to sit in and just try and keep their shape and keep Barca at arm's length? And I think he chose the right thing. I think they were forced into it to a certain extent, into it being toe-to-toe, but Atletico posed a threat all the way through, and that was the key, really. Barcelona were brilliant in the first 20 minutes. Lamine Yamal said he wanted the challenge, he got the challenge, and he could have scored early on. Had a great run that he was denied by Juan Musso. It was a brilliant save early on, and then he gets the goal. Great work to find him. And we talked at the team news, Natalie, about why has Hansi Flick gone for the team he's gone for. And he went for guys like Fermin, he went for guys like Dani Olmo, he went for, obviously, Lamine Yamal. He wasn't going to get dropped. He went for Ferran Torres rather than Lewandowski.
Yeah.
He was looking for mobility. He was looking for guys that could rotate, that could go into those spaces, that could open up gaps in that Atletico rear guard. And the second goal's a great example of that. Dani Olmo, nice pocket of space, uses it beautifully, slides the ball through, super finish from Ferran Torres. And at that stage, you wondered, whether they were going to go on and really build a lead, it's to Atletico's immense credit that they didn't allow them to do that.
It was, what, 6-7 minutes later, after Barcelona had gone 2-0 up, that Ademola Lookman then scored that crucial goal that has won them the tie, going through 3-2, as we've been saying. And he himself, actually, the attacking players that Diego Simeone had, they caused Barcelona all sorts of problems, because when they break so well and so quickly.
That's exactly it. I mean, you've got flying machines in terms of Lookman and Simeone out wide, and then you had really clever attacking players like Griezmann, like Alvarez, and Llorente makes a great burst from midfield. It's a super cross into Lookman, and he makes a, you know, tricky finish look easy, really. He's been lights out since arriving. I mean, he was brilliant for Atalanta. You might remember in the Europa League final against Bayer Leverkusen, he got a hat-trick in Dublin. I mean, this is a big game player, and he's shown it again. And usually, when a player arrives at Atletico, you have to take a little while to learn what Simeone wants. And Griezmann, when he first arrived, I mean, he's their record scorer and Atletico legend. Simeone loves him. First couple of months, he barely played because he wanted to get that idea across to him of how you had to play, how you had to defend. Lookman's been plug and play from the moment he arrived. Simeone's been, right, you can play. So, great credit to him. Yeah, and it's that work rate, it's that dynamism, it's that ability to do both jobs. And even when Simeone the other day was praising Griezmann, calling him a friend and calling him an incredible player for the football club, he jokes, if you don't run tomorrow, you're out the team. So that, you know, that is what it's about. He wants those players prepared to do both.
Ferran Torres thought he had scored a third for Barcelona that would have levelled the tie. That was then ruled out for offside. And then there was another costly red card, potentially, for Barcelona. Eric Garcia given a straight red, although initially the referee had given a yellow.
Yeah, so that comes after Alex Serlot is brought on for Griezmann. And the idea behind that was, as Barcelona come forward, you can have Serlot make those runs in behind, and that's exactly what happens. Very similar to the first leg, actually, in the way that Kubasi just gets caught wrong side, brings down Simeone. On this occasion, it's Eric Garcia, and I think it's the right call. I think the red card is the right call.
Yeah, it led to a VAR intervention, and the referee checked the monitor, decided to upgrade it to a straight red card, and so they had to play the remaining 10, 15, 20 minutes, as it turned out, perhaps with the added on time as well, down to 10. But that didn't stop Barcelona from attacking, because they were causing Atleti all sorts of problems, because they had no choice. They had to go for it.
Well, he had a massive chance at the end.
Yes.
They brought on Ronald Araujo, who's a big centre-back, put him on as a centre-forward, which is a very old-school thing to do, and it nearly worked, because it's a great cross from the right-hand side. He gets separation. He's in position, just can't keep it down. And that could so easily have been the goal that could have pushed it to extra time. So it's a great effort from Barcelona when you bear in mind they were 2-0 down from the first leg, when you bear in mind they've gone to Atletico to try and get it back. They were close, but Atletico have seen it through.
Tell us about the accomplishment then for Atleti in getting to the semi-final, because would you say on paper most would have thought Barcelona would get through this two-legged tie?
Yeah, because you look at the La Liga table, yeah, and you look at how far ahead Barcelona are of Atletico Madrid, and they've done that over a long period of time, and they've beaten them home and away in the league. The outlier was that first leg in the Copa del Rey semi-final, and they beat them 4-0, and that was what sparked a conversation between Hansi Flick and his players about, do we need to temper this? Do we need to actually not play such a high line? And in the end, they went for, no, this is how we play. This is us. We're going to keep doing it. So, and they nearly lost that semi-final tie. They went to Barcelona and lost 3-0. So, with justification, I think a lot of people, including myself, thought Barcelona would probably have a bit too much firepower over the two legs. What I really admire about Atletico over the two legs is how clinical they've been. They've taken their chances. They've defended diligently when they've had to. It's a great piece of coaching from Simeone, because I think he's really evolved as a coach. It's a really stunning performance from them over the two legs, and I admire the way they've gone about it.
The overriding question is, though, can Diego Simeone do it? Finally get the Champions League. If you look at his role of honour, he's won pretty much everything he could have won as a player and a coach. The one thing has eluded him is the UEFA Champions League. And as we know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, they lost to Real Madrid twice. He's been in the job for almost 15 years. Has his time finally come?
They've had loads of nearly moments. I mean, you think of that tie against Real Madrid fairly recently where they lost on penalties and they were ever so close to knocking Real Madrid out then. I think it could be, because I think what's been really interesting about them is if you think of the early years of his reign when he got to those two finals in the Champions League, it was all about, can you be organised? Can you fight your way through? Can you back each other up? Yes, we've got a bit of quality going forward, but it was all about those kind of gnarled veterans at the back who could really dig in. And in Oblak, you've got one of the best goalkeepers in the world. What they've tried to do in recent years, they've spent a bit of money in the transfer market to bring in technically gifted players, quality attacking players who can try and win games in the way that they've won these. Guys like Lookman, guys like Alex Baena coming in, Julian Alvarez, real statement signing. You know, guys who have that grit but have a bit of silk about them as well. And that's what I think has really progressed this team.
Are they, and I mean this in a complimentary way, an awkward team to come up against because of the fact you might not be sure of how they're going to set up, how they're going to play? I mean, they're going to wait the winners of Arsenal or Sporting Arsenal 1-0 up, of course, from the first leg to see who they will play in the semi-final.
Yeah, I think the Arsenal thing's really interesting if it is them. And we don't know it will be. You know, Sporting have got quality to maybe come back in that tie, but you'd say Arsenal were favourites. If it is Arsenal, I covered the game for Matchday Live against Atletico in the league phase, and Arsenal won it comfortably in the end. But actually, Julian Alvarez went very close to scoring at 0-0. They caused them a few problems. I think they'll have learnt a lot from that. And I think if they go to North London again, I'm not sure it will go the same way. So I still think they're learning how they play, really. I still think this is not quite the finished Atletico, but they're an exciting team to watch. Griezmann is one of my all-time favourite players. I just love watching him play. He has an incredible footballing brain. And he's leaving the club at the end of the season to go to MLS. What a way to go out if he wins the Copa del Rey and he wins the Champions League. I mean, that is a mic drop if ever there was one.
Yeah, well, you couldn't ask for a better way to sign off, certainly. In terms of going all the way, and of course there are plenty of other teams that are going to have a say in this run, what chances would you give them now from what you've seen to have got to the semi-final stage now?
Look, they can. Any team that gets that far is in the mix. And if you've knocked out Barcelona, who are, the league table tells you, the best team in Spain, if you've knocked them out, you will take enormous confidence from that. I think they've grown since the start of the season. I think they're better away from home than they were in the opening months of the season. I think they've grown. They've got a great backup goalkeeper. I mean, Juan Musso is very solid. When you don't have Oblak, there isn't that massive drop. You see it sometimes when teams don't have their first choice goalkeeper. There's a big drop off and it's a bit shaky. That's not the case with them. So they are live contenders. Absolutely they are. There won't be favourites if it's Arsenal. I don't think they'll care about that.
Well, we saw what happened against Barcelona. Barcelona winning the second leg 2-1, but Atleti winning the tie 3-2 on aggregate. An incredible evening for Diego Simeone and his side. Still to come, we'll react to the action from Anfield and look ahead to Wednesday's matches.
UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
To Anfield next. Defending champions Paris travel to six-time winners Liverpool with a two-goal advantage from the first leg. Kevin Hatchard and Mike Sewell watch the match unfold.
Salah's first touch from the right, swings in across, Konate goes in, brilliant save by Safarov, an extraordinary save and a brilliant piece of defending by his captain Marquinhos. Kerkez, left edge of the penalty area, finds Ungamoa onto his right foot, he might have a shot at goal, he does, and it's saved by Safarov and he holds onto it. Really vicious effort from Ungamoa. Dembele onto his left foot, Dembele! And after all the pressure from Liverpool, all the momentum that they had, it's been wiped out. Paris Saint-Germain have scored on the night and extended their advantage in the tie. And it's another one from Ousmane Dembele, a breakaway by Paris down the left. It was played into Barkala, who slid the ball across for Dembele, who kindly accepted the invitation and swept it underneath Giorgi Mamardashvili. And the referee does blow his whistle, and Liverpool's participation in the UEFA Champions League this season is over. Luis Enrique's Paris, the holders, are through to the semi-finals. 2-0 on the night, thanks to two goals from Dembele, 4-0 on aggregate.
Yes, two Ousmane Dembele goals in the second half sealed a 2-0 win on the night, a 4-0 aggregate victory for Paris, who continue then the defence of their trophy. And Mike, at the start, you mentioned the efficiency of Paris, and that's clearly what we saw this evening, because when it came to shots on target, 6 for them in this game, which might be sort of below what you'd expect of a Paris side, but ultimately they got the job done.
Yeah, and two of those came late on, as they did, but it doesn't really tell the full story, a 2-0 away win and a 4-0 aggregate win, certainly from tonight, because after what was a fairly close first half, and we wonder whether, you heard it in the commentary there, had Liverpool found the net from before Safarov made that really good save and Marquinhos stepped in with a defensive block, which the celebration from, almost as if Paris had won the game there and then, says it all. But they couldn't score in the first half. But the second half performance from Liverpool was excellent. I mean, you can't really fault them for the performance other than not finding the net. And then they were punished by, as you say, the efficiency of Paris Saint-Germain. Dembele, I mean, just working enough room inside the D just to squeeze it between defender, goalkeeper and post. And then the second goal, well, tired legs of Liverpool, gaps opening up, and he just swept it home. So, yeah, they're a very difficult team to beat. I mean, we thought Liverpool might score tonight, and they nearly did. But Paris have done it again. They went to Anfield last season and won 1-0 and won a penalty shootout. This one was more comprehensive.
The problem is you have to be pretty much perfect to beat them, because they don't give you much defensively. Marquinhos, for all of his experience, you know, for all of the years he's been in the game, still plays it like he's a 20-year-old in terms of the enthusiasm, in terms of the athleticism. I mean, that challenge to deny Van Dijk was absolutely superb. And then even when Liverpool played with more aggression, played with more intent in the second half, created some great situations, it's so difficult to open them up. I mean, Liverpool did have chances, no doubt, but it's really difficult to dominate against them. And then when you do, you have to score. And they just couldn't quite find a way of doing it. Safarov made an important save from Gakpo early in the second half. But for all of their play, for all of their combinations, Wirtz got into the game, Salah got into the game, never really felt like Paris were panicking. Never really felt like they were ragged. And Liverpool just couldn't find a way past them.
I've just seen a quote from Marquinhos, who was asked a question by French television. And he said, for a defender, it's better than scoring a goal. I really enjoyed it. And what he's talking about is that block that denied Virgil van Dijk.
I quite like the defenders celebrating blocks.
But that's
Why not?
Good as a goal.
Yeah,
that is
absolutely
basically a goal, because you've wiped off a goal that the other team would have scored. Because make no mistake, van Dijk's going to score. I mean, he's there. Mm. He somehow gets across at the last minute and gets enough of a touch on it to take it away.
There was a moment we didn't mention in the second half where Liverpool were given a penalty initially, and then it went to the video assistant referee. Alexis McAllister went down under a challenge from William Pacho.
Yeah.
But having looked at it closer, the VAR and the referee decided that the contact was more coming from McAllister, as you said, Kevin, than Pacho.
What we found out was that Mike is a better referee than me, because my initial instinct was that McAllister had been really smart, yes, used his body, got Pacho to make the challenge and won the penalty. Mm. Mike next to me was shaking his head going, I'm not sure.
Natalie was shaking her head as well.
So then they looked at it, and it turned out that I was wrong and you were right. And it is...
We are available for officiating duties. No, we're not.
This is what video assist is for, right? Yeah. Because you have another opportunity to take a look at a really tight call. Super tight call. I mean, it's... You know, it's a matter of timing, actually, in the end. Mm. And it's a really good VAR intervention. Referee has a look and then goes, right, what McAllister's done is initiated the contact. So... Really good refereeing in the end.
And I know it's ifs, buts and maybes, but that was a penalty that, had they have been given it, had they have scored, they would have taken the lead. And who knows where the tie would have ended up.
Well, I think just in general, if that first goal had gone in at all,
yeah,
that's when we would have found out really what Paris would have had to do, because that was the thing. Paris just kind of kept them at arm's length the whole time. And Liverpool can take some solace from it. They can take some positivity because... You know, there aren't many teams that can put Paris under pressure in the way that they did in that second half, but just wasn't quite their night. And you have to really, really credit Luis Enrique in Paris, because this is a machine. Mm. They are really, I mean, it's a very aesthetically pleasing machine, but everybody knows their job. Everybody knows, right, when he goes here, I have to come here. It's kind of a little bit like the old school Rinus Michels total football, right? In the sense that, oh, the left back's gone to striker, right? I have to go and fill in at left back, you know, and that takes hours and hours and hours of video analysis, drills, training sessions. It doesn't come easy. Don't just flick a switch. It's incredible. Really is.
Well, let's get some reaction then to this result then from Paris. Here's their goalkeeper, Matvey Safonov.
Yes, of course, we are happy that we finished. It was not easy, that's true. And before the match, we understood it that it will be a fight. And I think we showed that we was ready for this.
So that was the Paris goalkeeper, Matvey Safonov. And as he says there, they weren't expecting an easy evening, and it certainly wasn't. Liverpool really did have to go for it. And we saw that they had, in the end, 21 shots for Liverpool. But speaking of Paris then, and someone who seemed to have quite an influence when they came on was Bradley Barcola.
Yeah, and the thing with him, he's only just back from an ankle injury. He wasn't really expected to be involved at all in this tie when he got that injury, but he's come back quicker than expected. He's just so direct. He's so quick. He stretches teams. He's involved in the build-up to the first goal. And when you're pushing to get back in a tie or back in a game, he's a nightmare because he will make that run time and time again. And he's not always clinical. He won't always take the chance first time, but he'll go again and again and again. He never hides. He never gives up. I mean, he's got a lot of growing to do in terms of getting to that next level as a footballer, but he's already a really, really special talent.
A reaction coming in once more from Anfield. This time, the thoughts of the Liverpool boss, Arne Slot.
We got the performance we wanted, but unfortunately we couldn't score the first goal. I think we were multiple times close to scoring a goal, but as so many times this season, we haven't been able to score from the chances we had, which is a pity, because you felt how great Anfield was tonight, and add a goal to that. But over two games, again, I have to say Paris Saint-Germain deserves to go to the next round.
Yes, we weren't treated to an Anfield comeback that we have seen so many times from Liverpool, but it is Paris then who go through to the semi-finals, and it is Bayern or Real Madrid that they will play in the last four, which does sound very, very tasty. One thing I quickly wanted to mention was Ousmane Dembele's phone celebrations. It's like the old school phone where you pick it up and you put it down. He's too young to know what that phone was like, surely.
I like the contemptuous way he put it down. That was clearly a bit of oomph in that, a bit of feeling in that. He's an incredible player, you know, because I remember him as a teenager rocking up at Borussia Dortmund. And anyone who heard me in the main commentary talk about Rio and Gamboa, back then I used to talk exactly the same about Dembele, because he used to link up with Aubameyang. They played incredible football. Then he had some injuries and you weren't quite sure how it would go. I really admire the way that he's gone, right, I'm going to move to the next level now, if that's okay. And he's just really worked hard, really worked on his finishing. That finish tonight, that wouldn't have happened a few years ago, because he just wasn't quite as clinical. Mm. He wasn't quite as, you know, laser focused in front of goal. Now, when he gets it like that, you expect him to score. He's really worked hard on his game.
Well, I'm sure either Bayern or Real Madrid will do what they can to prepare for him. With those two part of our match day live tomorrow from 8:45 CET as the quarterfinals conclude.
Gnabry through a small gap to find Kane. Back to Gnabry. Lovely ball, Diaz! What a wonderful goal! Gliding into the penalty area now. Elise sets up Harry Kane for the effort. Oh, and Kane has scored! Passes it into the bottom corner. Here goes Alexander-Arnold inside right channel. Low ball in Mbappe! Right on cue! Real Madrid are back in the first leg.
You have to have these moments if you want to go to win the big competitions, and I think Real Madrid is maybe the best team to know this, right? You have to have special performance from players, and Manu was one of those players today, but we'll need more. We'll need more next week.
We have a goal, and it's Arsenal who have taken the lead late on. Kai Havertz has scored in this one. A lovely ball over the top for him to just take down nicely and then finish past Rui Silva.
Yeah, I think we have to reveal ourselves today, and I talk about identity and other things that we are as a team, that I definitely saw that tonight. It's half time. We are a step closer. Now we need to finish the tie at home in front of our people. And if we do that, we're going to start to dream.
You heard the Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta and Bayern boss Vincent Kompany there. And let's start with the game in Germany, shall we? Where Bayern lead Real Madrid by 2-1 after a first leg that was, the only best way to describe it, is high octane. There was shots aplenty from both teams. So I imagine, Kevin, we'll have something similar.
Pretty sure we will, because both teams are probably at their best when they're on the attack. Bayern don't tend to sit back. What they have done this season that they maybe hadn't quite worked out last season is that they can have spells where they can just have a collective breather and just recycle, reset. Kompany has taken it on a step now, and he's gone, okay, the attacking bit's fine. We've worked on being more balanced. We've worked on being less vulnerable when the opposition has it in transition. This is going to be the ultimate test of that, because Real Madrid is so dangerous when it's transitional moments, when they're on the counter. You've got Mbappe, you've got Vinicius, you've got all of that quality on the counter-attack. But Bayern will really fancy themselves, because they went to the Bernabeu, they played their football, and they came away with the win.
Mm. Kylian Mbappe's goal in that first leg certainly has given Real Madrid a lifeline. And I say a lifeline, Mike, you just can simply never write them off, Real Madrid.
I think, like Kevin says, they are so dangerous in transition. And when they've got a player like Kylian Mbappe there, and it's so, even though Bayern played well in that game, it's so tight now that it could swing either way. An early goal, we saw tonight in the Barcelona game, that they were straight out of the blocks, got two early goals. Couldn't do the job in the end, but I think tomorrow it's going to be fascinating watching that game.
Mm. Bayern's home record, though, I mean, it's
phenomenal.
Simply, yes, incredible.
Yeah, and they get great support in Munich. They will start fast. That's what they do. It's just going to be really interesting to see what, because they do let you play. You know, the cost of committing that many men forwards is that there are going to be gaps, but they don't mind, because what I really admire about Kompany is the way he's tweaked the mindset to say, right, okay, don't worry if we concede the odd goal here and there, because we'll get 3-4-5. It's fine. You know, take risks. Get forward. The fullbacks, if you watch the fullbacks over 90 minutes for Bayern, I mean, that's a magical mystery tour in itself, because they pick up all kinds of incredible attacking positions, and it makes for thrilling attacking football. They are so difficult to pin down and contain. And you look at all the top teams that do that now. Paris is a great example. You know, Nuno Mendes, Ashraf Hakimi, they'll pop up as centre forwards. That's been the case with Bayern. And Alphonso Davies has recently got back from long-term injury. He's a great example of that.
And then the second tie of the evening takes place in London with Arsenal hosting Sporting. Arsenal 1-0 up from the first leg after a late Kai Havertz winner, that in the 90th minute. And they remain undefeated in the Champions League this season. It has been such an incredible, formidable record that they have had this season in Europe.
Yeah, they've played really well. This is going to be about how they can shake off some of the nerves they showed at the weekend against Bournemouth, because they've had a tough run. They lost the League Cup final to Manchester City. They were knocked out of the FA Cup by Southampton. It's just about reminding themselves what a good side they are, because they finished top of the league phase for a reason. They were the best team in it. They beat Bayern, had some really good performances in the league phase. And against Sporting, it was kind of classic Arsenal, really. You know, difficult to break down. Goalkeeper made some important saves, and then they show some quality off the bench at the end to get the win. But Sporting have the quality to catch them out if they're not quite at top gear.
It's going to test Arsenal out this week, because they've got Manchester City at the weekend, who are now on their coattails in the Premier League title race. But I don't think they'll be distracted. If you heard what Mikel Arteta said today ahead of this game, he was very succinct when he was asked about is there fear that things may go wrong, and he says there's no fear, fire. And he kept pointing that out, and he was being very direct about it, and he was thinking about things and choosing his words very carefully. He's trying to make sure that his players don't see any kind of, you know what I mean, when you're the manager,
hesitation.
When you're the coach.
Yeah, they don't want to see any doubt in him.
Yes,
if he doesn't have doubt, then
they believe in him.
Yeah. The thing about Sporting is interesting. They've got the same thing going on, because Rui Borges, even though they lost the first leg, went, no, we can still go through. He was absolutely adamant. Don't worry about that. We can go there and we can win. And let's not forget, actually, if you go back to 2023, they dumped Arsenal out of the Europa League, and that was in North London as well. They got the result they needed there. So they have players who can change a game in an instant. So it's going to be really interesting about the pressure, because I get the feeling Sporting have already surprised people by getting this far. You know, this is a really good effort to get this far. But this is a team of winners. You know, they did the double in Portugal last season. They're used to winning. So Arsenal won't be able to just dismiss them. They're going to have to do it the hard way, but they are in a strong position.
Well, let's just remind you of Tuesday's results then. And Paris are through to the semi-finals after a 2-0 win at Anfield, secured a 4-0 aggregate win. And despite Barcelona winning 2-1 in Madrid, it was Atleti that secured a 3-2 aggregate win to make it through to the last four. It means both of you guys need to come up with your moment, your player of the evening.
I'm going to go for Ademola Lookman's finish to get them back in that. Well, it was ultimately the game that put them through. He's made a really big impact since coming in midway through the season from Atalanta. He's a player that has really worked so hard on his game. He's really developed over the course of his career. Didn't quite happen for him in the Premier League, but he had the sense of adventure to go to Bergamo, become a hero with Atalanta, scoring a hat-trick in the European final. He's gone to Madrid. He's getting towards hero status there already. So Ademola Lookman.
As much as I like the block from Marquinhos in the follow-up from Safanov's save in the first half, I've got to go with the Dembele finish for the first goal, the way in which, and at the timing of it as well, because it was so important for Paris to score at that moment, because Liverpool at that time looked like they might be able to get into the game, and that literally just finished Liverpool off.
So Paris are through, Atleti are through. Who are they going to face in the last four? For Atleti, then, it's either Arsenal or Sporting.
I think it will be Arsenal. I think it'll be a bit nervy, but I think it will be Arsenal in the end. I think they'll find a way. Mike?
I agree. Yeah, Arsenal to
go. Yeah, Sporting have had some great results, obviously, this year in the Champions League, but away from home, they've only won once.
That's the tricky thing. At home, very, very good.
Yeah.
But away from home, not so good. So now you're going to ask a really difficult one, aren't you?
Bayern against Real Madrid. Who gets through to face Paris?
I think it's going to be one of the best games of the Champions League this season. I think Bayern will do it. I think Real Madrid will struggle to contain them because of the firepower they have. I just think Bayern can hurt you in so many different ways. And I think as good as Real Madrid are, I think Bayern will have a bit too much for them.
I can't disagree. And he's the Bundesliga expert.
So more pressure on me if it goes wrong, you see.
Quite, indeed. There you go. That is the predictions then for the semi-finals. That's all we've got time for on another Champions League night that delivered superb moments across Europe. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 p.m. Central European time on Wednesday for the final evening of the quarterfinal ties. Make sure you join us on the Champions League website and app for full commentary of Bayern versus Real Madrid, as well as updates from Arsenal against Sporting. And a reminder, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. My thanks go to Kevin and to Mike for their company this evening, and to you as well for tuning in. But for now, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's a goodbye for now.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.